a prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we look at your holy word, you will be our teacher. Your Spirit will guide us into all truth. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen. We've got two readings, both from readings from Romans chapter 6. Both the readings start with a question. The question is this: shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? That's the first question. The second one, verse 15, the second lesson. Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? So in this chapter you've got two major words that the chapter is based on: sin and grace. Well, this congregation knows exactly what both are, but let me just put it this way. If you spell out the word sin in capital letters, can you picture that? S-I-N. What comes in the middle? Is I, or me. And sin is putting me where God should be, in the middle. That's sin. You take any of the Ten Commandments, you see how that works. I want, so I take. I in the middle. And grace, of course, is the opposite. Grace has five letters. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. I need to have a picture of a loving father who loves his children very much. Longs to do everything for them to make their life better. And that's our Heavenly Father. God's riches. He wants to pour out his riches on his children. But it cost him a lot, didn't it? Jesus had to die for our Father to enable him to give us what he wanted to. So that's how the chapter goes on. And because it's on baptism, I have three little baptism stories for you. The first one is a bit cheeky, but anyway, in Maidstone, we used to have our baptisms in the afternoon. And having been to the family in their home and talking all about it, they came to church and we had the baptism, and then we went to the vicarage next door for tea, always. And Junior used to teach at Deppling, mostly gypsies. And so we used to go and see them in their caravans at a place called Plum Tree Bottom. It was notorious. People didn't go there. It was notorious. Anyway, we went and we talked to these people. And one of the families said we'd like our children christened. So we went and spent time trying to describe what it means to be christened. The time came, then they came to church. And I drew a line on the floor of the church and described how when you're baptized, you move from one side to the other, from the world to God's side, from the world side to God's side. You step over the line. All right. So we did that, baptized the children, and then the father, the gypsy man, said, please will you do me as well? I thought that was lovely. So I did. Baptized them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Well, another story is of a day when I was to do baptisms in the afternoon, and in the morning I got an urgent call from my brother up in Suffolk. I desperately need your help. So I said to the curate, will you take the baptism after me? He said, all right. He was a young man, no children, no experience with children. So he said, all right. Well, there were, amongst the children, there were two twins, redhead, 7-year-olds. And because he thought for baptism you pick up the child, he tried to pick one up. The other one fled all the way out of the church and all the way home. So when I got back afterwards, I said to Chris, how did it go? He said, one got away. Anyway. The other story is Sudan, where they do their baptisms at a river. And the Christian church stays on one side, those who be baptized on the other side. So when they've done their preparation and their name is called, they have to walk through the water to the church side. I think the picture is rather nice. But it is really of going down into the water, dying to sin, coming up to new life in Christ. That's the picture. And this chapter really uses that as an illustration for these two words, sin and grace. Sin and grace. And so the last verse, verse 23 of chapter 6, is one that I'm sure that many of you know by heart. But if you don't, you're going to go out of this church knowing it by heart. Because we're going to say it together. Are you ready? Chapter 6, verse 23, Epistle to the Romans. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. How does that go? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you very much. Well, you'll see that as we go through the chapter. They're going to be read in a minute. It's talking about dying with Christ, buried with Christ, rising again with Christ. And in the end, we shall be with Christ for eternity, eternal life. There's a verse in the middle that says, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Break away from sin, break away from the world, and stand firm on Jesus' side, the other side of the line. That's the message, I think, of Romans chapter 6. Last week, when Jeremy was, Mark was doing chapter 5, he strayed into chapter 6, and I said, hang on, that's mine. Anyway, I think that's the message of chapter 6. The wages of sin, spiritual death, cut off from God. But the gift of God and his mercy and grace is eternal life, because it's through Jesus Christ who died for us to make it possible. It cost our Lord a lot to make it possible for us to have eternal life with him. So, who's going to read the lesson? Please read the two lessons. No, one lesson. We have a hymn between. Thank you. Thank you, David.